if we look at the data that comes from employee engagement agencies like Gallup, before COVID, between 69 and 70% of employees were not reported as being engaged. So they're either disengaged or they weren't engaged. They weren't highly engaged. Now it's about 75%. So we've only actually had about a 5 or 6% shift over the last 3-4 years. But it feels like it's all come to a head. You know, it's almost like that critical mass point has been reached where people are like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
Welcome to Management Development Unlocked, where you will learn how to nurture a world-class management team. And now your host, Eric Gerard.
Hello, and welcome back to Management Development Unlocked. I am tickled that you are here. I'm Eric Gerard, and I'm the CEO of Gerard Training Solutions, a management development firm that focuses on helping new managers transform from being great individual contributors to great people managers. I also have an Amazon number one best-selling book called Lead Like a Pro, The Essential Guide for New Managers. And this show, as of today, has over 2,000 listeners and is a global top 10% podcast. Today, I am delighted to have Jimmy Burrows with me. Jimmy, welcome to the show. Who are you and what do you do?
Thanks so much. Well, first of all, I'm tickled to be here. I love that usage of the word tickled. So I run a leadership development business, which is focused on turning busy, overworked, overwhelmed managers into extremely high impact leaders, basically giving them the reward, recognition, and results that they are seeking and want and deserve. And we do that through a variety of offerings, podcasts, books, and most importantly, we run between 400 and 500 workshops a year, facilitated conversations, seminars, webinars that allow people to what we call learn in the flow of work. So this, instead of teaching or theory, it's let's get in a room, talk about some stuff and try some things and learn from what we experience and learn from what we get right. And sometimes we make a mistake and we learn some stuff from that too. So that's what we do.
Amazing. That is awesome. And I didn't realize you ran 400 or 500 workshops. You don't do that all yourself, do you?
Some of it myself, some of it with the wonderful team of associates and facilitators that we've put together. But I think last year, I think we hit around 456, 457, wow, something like that. I didn't do the final maths, but yeah, it was a pretty epic year last year. I definitely needed Christmas by the end of the year.
I want to be like you when I grow up. I'm telling you, 400 or 500 workshops. I could only dream of that. Wow. Okay. Well, then we have to have a sidebar conversation about that.
Roger.
Okay.
So, but you get to go diving more than I do, though. So that's, you know, that's the quid pro quo. Well,
yeah. And depending on who you ask, that's either work or not. Like, I'm a professional diver because I'm a scuba instructor, but it's kind of playtime as well. And it's throttled by my wife, who's like, you can't dive every weekend. We need you too. So there's that.
Yeah, wives have a tendency to do that, but it's probably for good reason because family time is extremely important.
It absolutely.
As I'm learning more in the last few months.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And my kids are 15. And if I disappear now, that's a bad idea. So I'm sticking around. All right. Well, our topic today is why you're working harder, but not having the impact or results you want. So that's what we're going to talk about today with Jimmy. And Jimmy, my first question for you is, why are we working harder?
Why are we working harder? You know, it's just, I read this amazing statistic a while back, which is that in one day, we process 4 to 7 times as much data as our parents used to process in a month. And, you know, I'm in my 40s, so we're talking sort of parents in the 80s now. But if you put it into context, just the sheer number of emails, the number of Facebook alerts, the number of Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, marketing, we have a tremendous amount of stuff coming at us. And in the 20 odd years of change that's happened in terms of technology, we haven't had a significant amount of evolutionary change in our brains. And so what happens when we're just being bombarded all day long is that our brains think that those are little things that we need to deal with. They think that they're little tasks that are coming up. And because there's somebody sending me an email, I feel obliged to respond to that email, which creates this hamster wheel of activity across multiple teams, multiple businesses, multiple organizations, that everybody's responding to everybody faster, and it just increases the speed with which we all have to get stuff done, which means we have to work harder. And what do? The logical response would be, hold on, I need to work out which are the really important things for me to be working on and put my energy there. But what we see in reality, especially when you get tired, especially when you get stressed, especially when you get a bit busy, is you try and do all of it. It just becomes a longer list of stuff to do. And so you spend all those extra hours working, you spend all those weekends, evenings, free time, doing harder work. And is it working for us? Well, I would argue no, but it seems to be the reality that most of us are living in right now.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where I'm not quite a zero inbox guy, but if I have more than 20 total emails in my inbox, I get anxious.
The palpitations.
I have anxiety about that. It's not as bad as when I was working in corporate. So for example, I just posted this morning on LinkedIn that when I was in corporate, Sundays were always bad days for me because it meant Monday was coming. Mm. And Monday was coming with the mayhem and chaos and all the emails I hadn't read and all the meetings and all the demands from the boss. And, you know, so I would dread about lunchtime Sunday, I would start getting into a funk because I knew it was coming. And it's just because there was so much to do on Monday morning at work. So that's a blessing of being self-employed, is you can kind of throttle your throughput as you want to. You can teach 400 workshops a month or a year or not, you know, up to you. But yeah, I feel it personally. I felt a visceral reaction as you were talking about that. I mean, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and I remember the first time my dad brought, it wasn't even a computer, it was just a terminal home. And he literally took the phone off the hook and put it into an acoustic coupler. And this thing transmitted data at 110 baud, which is supremely slow. And we thought that was amazing. And
groundbreaking, right?
It was groundbreaking back then. That was state of the art. Absolutely. And now 110 baud, like that, nobody even knows what a baud is because we're just moving so, so fast. So,
yeah.
Okay. So you've made the point. We're working harder because of the way that we are bombarded with information. But tell us more about what else has changed. So what's going on in the larger ecosystem that's got us on this hamster wheel?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and it's part of the information that we share with leaders in the workshops that we do. But we've got this almost perfect storm happening right now where we're in a post-COVID environment. So our leaders are being expected to lead in ways that they've never been trained for and they've never really been prepared for, because we've gone from everybody comes to the office every day and we all see each other around the water cooler to everybody's working at home, work out how to do that, to some of the people are now coming in some of the time and other people aren't in any of the time and some of the people are in all the time. You need to make that work. And as a leader, it's really challenging to build connection and meaningful trust and to cultivate and manage relationships with your team, especially if you haven't been shown how to do it, especially if you've just been hospital past the situation, which is what unfortunately a lot of leaders are facing right now. And so we're starting to see that in organizations erode trust, erode culture, erode the willingness to keep going. People are tired, people are exhausted because they've been relying on old skill sets that they've picked up over the period of their career, or maybe they picked up as an example from their previous boss to manage in this context. So that's the first of our factors. The second of our factors is we're now 25, 30 years into what I call a continuous improvement fad. And I don't mean to demean it, but we've had, you know, Lean, Six Sigma, Toyota Production System. There's a whole number of these ideas that have come out. And each of them has been extremely valuable in making businesses more efficient and optimized. But they come at the expense of removing noise, removing wastage. And that wastage is generally stripping out complexity and processes. But people are probably one of the most complex things that are in any business. But we haven't spent a lot of time focusing on people. We've stripped out people. We've taken out layers of management. We've made businesses much, much leaner than they were previously. But we've taken out also huge amounts of skill sets, and we haven't taken out people process complexity. We haven't invested in people systems in the way that we potentially could have done. And if you look at a lot of the HRIS systems that are out there, they're super archaic. They're Windows 95-ish. We don't have a new fancy front on it. But our ability to manage and deal with people is extremely limited. And we add then the third layer on top of that, which is it's much easier to rip out a layer of management and save money on marketing than it is to deal with people issues. And one of the core people issues that we're dealing with right now is this gap. We call it the leadership dip in between management 101 training. Congratulations, the great work you do. You know, congratulations, you've been promoted from individual contributor to a manager, and then nothing until congratulations, you're now an executive, have a coach. And so leaders are doing one of two things. They're relying on an old toolbox. When you're a management 101 person and you're managing a team of 6, 7, 20 people, it's a very different skill set to managing a group of managers or managing a group of leaders or managing a business or an organization. You require different ways of thinking. You require different ways of operating. But we haven't prepared people to do that. So they're kind of winging it with out-of-date skills and tools that aren't not necessarily bad, but they're not fit for purpose on the context that those people are working in. Secondly, we haven't maybe got good examples of leadership now in our organizations, because the people that we've looked to as our example have either been stripped out of the business, made redundant, have left the organization, or they weren't any good examples because nobody's been prepared and trained to lead in a hybrid working environment that has lots of availability for resources to support teams to grow and build trust and connect with each other. So you can see now why all, like, this is this perfect storm of multiple factors that are starting to stack up, and we're starting to be found wanting. That's not to say that this is since COVID either, because all this stuff was happening before COVID, but I think COVID has amplified the impact and effect of what's happened.
Yeah, I think COVID, if I may be frank, COVID screwed up everything. I mean, it just messed up so many things. And I think what you're describing is where COVID amplified a problem that was coming down the pipe anyway, you know, with all the digitization and remote working and so on that had started to take hold before March of 2020. Mm-hmm. Now it's just, we've created all kinds of new problems for ourselves.
100%. And, you know, we look at certainly the American corporate workplace. It's relentless and ruthless and really challenging for employees. And if we look at the data that comes from employee engagement agencies like Gallup, before COVID, between 69 and 70% of employees were not reported as being engaged. So they're either disengaged or they weren't engaged. They weren't highly engaged. Now it's about 75%. So we've only actually had about a 5 or 6% shift over the last 3-4 years. But it feels like it's all come to a head. You know, it's almost like that critical mass point has been reached where people are like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And there's this beautiful phrase that I learned probably 15 years ago in my first corporate job, which was, it's only when the tide goes out that those people swimming naked get found out. And I think COVID was the tide going out. People were swimming naked. You know, there were poor leadership practices before. There were unsustainable systems and expectations before. But COVID brought those to the fore. COVID was the tide going out that suddenly exposed all these people to the world and all of these circumstances to the world. And people woke up to it and were like, that doesn't work for me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Well, let's talk a little bit now about the impact that working harder has on burnout and other things related to it. So I can guess what you're going to say, but I want to see your take on this.
Yeah, I mean, surprise, surprise. Working hard for too long a period of time increases your chance of burning out. Like that's the short version of it. We then have to ask ourselves, but why and how? And the analogy I like to use when I'm talking to managers and leaders is, if you imagine that you have a budget, and in your budget, you have certain things you're spending and they eat away at your bank account. And over time, you spend a little bit more than is in your bank account. So you go into your overdraft, you're in the red. But you know on payday that you'll top up again. And the following month, you use a little bit more again. You go a little bit deeper into that overdraft. But then payday comes and you can get out of the red again and you're back in the black. Now, if we do this perpetually for a very long time and we go deeper and deeper and deeper because we're starting from a less positive place each month, there's going to come a point where your bank account starts at zero and goes backwards for the entire month. So your pay packet may not even get you back in the black. And that's what we see with burnout as well. So imagine instead of it being a bank account, it's your energy bank account and your ability to recover. And your ability to get back into the black is the weekends, the evenings, the vacations you can take, the downtime you're using, the social life you have, your friends, your gym, your hobbies. And over time, you keep going overdrawn on your energy bank account. And initially, it doesn't hurt too much, right? You get a little bit tired this week. Oh, I'll just sleep in late on the Saturday. But when, so we start to have this whirlpool effect. You know, I can swim out of it pretty easily at the start. But once I'm down in the fast moving spiral at the center, it's very hard to get out of. It's like a black hole. It just swallows you down. And the harder you work to get out of the black hole or the plug hole, the more exhausted you become and the less effect it has. And so this working harder mentality, it is one that many, many managers have. It's like, if I just push through, I'll prevail, because that's the behavior that they've been taught. And that's the behavior that's got them where they are. You know, they worked harder than their peers. They worked longer than those people around them. And that got them the promotion. That got them ahead. That got them the recognition. That got them the rewards. That made them feel good about their identities. Like, oh, I'm the problem solver. I'm the one who sorts everything out. And so that's the practice behavior that leads to us working harder, longer, and gradually eating away at our energy bank account to the point where payday doesn't fix it. Vacation doesn't fix it. And we need to really address the underlying beliefs of the choices and the habits that we're going to make to try and solve that stuff.
It's like your employees all walking up to you with a screeching monkey on their back. And they say, here, take this for me. Take care of this for me. And, you know, if you've got five people on your team and they each give you a monkey or two, you're laden down with that thing, with all the monkeys, and they go home scot-free, and you as a leader are, you know, struggling to get rid of these things yourself. And if that keeps happening day after day, you're in debt. You're in energy debt for the entire month or the whole quarter or beyond. So
yep.
Yeah, the visuals you use, especially being caught in a whirlpool as a scuba diver, that's a scary thing to think of. So mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff.
It's scary to be in it as well, because you're out of control at that point. You know, so initially you can swim out, but when you're near to the end, and I've been there personally, it's why I wrote a book about it. Mm-hmm. It's a really difficult place to be, because you know that you should be able to solve this. And if you just try harder, you'll get it out. You genuinely believe that, but you can't, and it's not working. And that's confusing and disarming and unsettling, as well as the fact that things like your behavior starts to shift, your decision-making mm-hmm. quality starts to shift, your relationships start to shift, because you're so out of control.
Yep. Yep. Totally agree. Well, the last thing I'd like to ask you in this section of the show is tell us about multitasking. How do you perceive of multitasking, and is it good or bad?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's do a very quick example of multitasking, because it's something that we probably all do, whether we realize it or not. So I'm gonna give you a little activity to do, Eric, if that's okay.
Okay.
So if I can ask you to count from 1 to 5, and then from 5 to 1, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then backwards.
Out loud.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, now do A, B, C, D, E, and then the same thing backward.
A, B, C, D, E, E, D, C, B, A.
Okay, now I'd like you to alternate. So I'd like to go A1, B2, C3, and so on, and then do it backwards.
A1, B2, C3, D4, E5, 5E... Oh, you saw my performance on the last one. You know I can't finish this.
So, I think we can rest our case, right? The pretty simple activity, but what we're asking you to do is either do the same thing, which is what we call task batching or monotasking, which is where you do counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's very easy to do. As soon as we added the complexity of going backwards, it's a little bit harder, but it's still in the same realm. Then we took you to a different context. We did A, B, C, D, E, E, D, C, B, A. Again, mm-hmm. not too challenging. Then we added multitasking. Multitasking is where we have to essentially stop doing something, take that cassette out of, or that SD card or whatever it is we're using in our brains nowadays, out of the slot, find the other thing, put it in the slot, press play, and do that task. Then we press stop, we take that one out, and we put the other one back in, and we press play. And that's the visual kind of equivalent of what multitasking is. So we're trying to do two tasks at once, but what we're actually doing is one task for a very short period of time, then stopping, then using some energy to switch to a different task, then doing that task, then stopping. And so it's called task switching. Mm-hmm. And that's what multitasking actually is. There's no such thing as multitasking, it's just task switching. And there's a huge cost in terms of speed, performance, and productivity. Huge, huge cost. It is not only more energy intensive on your brain to press stop, take the card out, put the other card in, press play, but it also is harder because your brain has to reorientate every time you start again. So you're like, where was I before? Oh yeah, I was at C. Okay, so C matches with three. Okay, now I'm onto three, right. And it becomes extremely difficult. So that's kind of the very basic description of how multitasking works. And why do we do it? Well, because there's this mark of busyness being productive that we have in the workplace nowadays. So, you know, oh, Eric is a superstar because he can manage 50 things at once. Well, is Eric actually doing a really great job at that? Or is Eric burning himself out because he's trying to manage so many things at once? And is Eric doing his best work on each of those things? Or is he just running around to try and stop the plate that's going to fall off the pole or the ball that's going to hit the ground from making a mess? And so energy is actually diverted to crisis prevention or what we call loss aversion than winning. And you can see now how multitasking starts to become a bit of a less attractive prospect. It becomes something that is crisis or loss aversion than high performance productivity. So what we see when we look at high performance in leaders and high performance teams is the teams that are very, very focused on one thing at a time for a period of time always create better results than teams who are flitting around, checking their emails, going into meetings, then doing their social media, then maybe some more emails, and then doing some budgeting. It's much better to monotask and focus on specific things at specific times. And if you can get alignment across your team doing those things as well, then you get even higher performance as a team.
Jimmy, I'd like to thank you for resurrecting the PTSD I had working in Silicon Valley and being forced to multitask, because I can't multitask. I'm a little ADHD. I can't multitask. I can get hyper-focused and get something done and just drill right down into that. That's really productive for me. And then as long as I've got a task list, or like I use my calendar as a task list that tells me what to do and when, then I'm fine. But I had managers who constantly pressed me to multitask, and it's just not how I'm wired. And so it was incredibly stressful, very difficult.
Well, so, I'll let you into a secret, Eric. Nobody's wired like that. We're all just pretending to do that because that's what expectations of leadership and corporate world have placed on us. And, you know, there's this great analogy of chase two rabbits, catch no rabbits, which is kind of what multitasking is, right? My business coach says something very similar. You know, if you try and build seven bridges, you'll probably not cross the river. If you try and build one bridge, you're going to get across safely. So just focus on one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I love that. You're speaking my love language now. So, good stuff. All right.
But I am sorry to traumatize you.
Yeah, re-traumatize. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yes. Well, let's talk a little bit about you. You've got books. You've got a podcast, so tell us about that.
Yeah, so the podcast is, I guess, a labor of love. It is, whilst we do all these workshops and we're out in businesses, we realize that there's also a lot of people out there in the world that we don't get to work with. As much as we'd love to, we don't have capacity to serve everybody. And so the podcast was really a way to share some of the thinking and the mindset that we have with a wider audience. And much like yourself, I'm very blessed to have become a top 10% globally podcast. We're called the High Performance Leader Podcast, and it kind of does what it says on the tin, helps you become a high performance leader. We mix between one-on-one interviews, much like this format, and then I also do solo episodes, which tend to be the conversations of the moment that are coming up more than three times in my week. or more than three times in that window of time. And so we have a variety of topics that are just things that I think could be useful in bite-sized chunks. The books are, again, very practical focused books. So last year we released one called Beat Burnout, Ignite Performance, and it is the leader's playbook for building a high-performance culture. So if you're a leader who's sitting going, I don't know how to solve this stuff in my team, and I don't know why nobody's doing what I tell them to do, and I don't know why we're all pulling in different directions and we're siloed and people keep leaving and everybody's exhausted, this is the book you need. This is the book that's going to show you how to build a high-performance culture in your team, literally like a recipe book. Say this, ask this, do this. And we put some great stories in there as well. The new book is called Escape the Multitasking Trap, and it kind of unpacks some of the stuff we've talked about today, where we talk about, from the perspective of a CEO that we worked with who gave us his blessing to write this book, but essentially we go on his story from realizing that multitasking wasn't serving him and it was actually destroying his team and his business because they were all over the place all the time, and how he shifted to what we call a monotasking focus, which is working on one thing at a time, and the huge improvements that yielded. And then it shows you how to do the same thing with some activities in there as well. So very practical focused books. The second book is actually available for free on our website, jimmyburrows.com. The first book, Beat Burnout, is available on Amazon.
Brilliant. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our time. Jimmy, thank you so much. What a splendid conversation. That's a second superlative I've thrown in there. How can people find you? You mentioned your website, but say it again so that people can find you.
Absolutely. So the best place is to find me, jimmyburrows.com. Note the funny spelling of my surname. That'll probably get you lost, but it's jimmyburrows.com. Or if you are a social media person, I'm very active on LinkedIn and I love to have conversations on LinkedIn. So please reach out and connect or chat.
Okay. Awesome. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the show and connect with me on LinkedIn. Pick up my book, Lead Like a Pro, The Essential Guide for New Managers, which is available on Amazon. If you'd like to chat about how I can help you or your new managers, please drop me a line via my website, gerardtrainingsolutions.com. With that, we will catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Management Development Unlocked. Want more? Get a ton of insider tips and tools at gerardtrainingsolutions.com.